we really want to make sure that we do these get acquainted calls as a way to be able to filter the wrong people out, move them out, and then open the gate and let the right people come in. And that is how you'll end up having greater revenue. You have happier patients. You're going to be happier because you get to do what you love and you're taking good care of your people. Welcome to The Clinical Entrepreneur, a business podcast that's dedicated to healthcare practitioners just like you who are hustling every day to build a business and a life you're proud of. Join me, Rhonda Nelson, as I share my own experiences and extract actionable advice from industry experts about what it takes to build and scale a profitable wellness practice. Well, hey, friends, welcome back. I'm glad you're here this week hanging out with me on the podcast. I got a topic that I want to talk to you about today that could really change the way that you are doing business in your practice. And it's kind of a part one, part two, but not really, but sort of. But I'll give you more details about that at the end. So first, you know, I've kind of been on a little bit of a business kick here lately, and I've been talking more about business-related topics because it's so important. We did not learn how to do business when we went to school. And if you went to school, chiropractic school or acupuncture school or health coach or whatever, dentist, pharmacy, whatever your specialty is, you probably didn't minor in business. Just saying. And besides that, a business degree in, you know, a university business degree is really more about corporate business, corporate accounting, corporate business. There literally is no kind of good training for small business other than trial by error or trial by fire, which sucks bad because you make the mistake and you're like, oh man, that cost me a lot of money, or oh, I shouldn't have done that. And the reason that I think that knowing the language of business, understanding that when you as a practitioner decided to open your own brick and mortar, you decided to do your little side hustle and then it grew into something. When you decided to do that, you basically stepped into the world of being an entrepreneur and a business owner, whether you like it or not, friend, that's just what happened. But you go in knowing no language. It would be like if you're a chiropractor, and I know, sorry, I always pick on chiropractors, but it'd be like, you know, saying I'm a chiropractor and then having someone lay on your table and you're like, well, I think I'm supposed to like push right here and maybe there's a pop. And maybe this like side thing, you kind of like just throw your leg over the table and I kind of like land on it, right? Of course you wouldn't do that. You have to have the skill to be able to work on someone's body. But the problem is that anybody can open a business and they have no training, none. So the last, you know, month or two, I suppose, I've really been dialing in on this because I want you to have the skills that you need to run a really profitable and successful business. And that's why I have completely redesigned Clinical Business Academy to support you there. But let's get into the topic for today. So first, I'm going to lay some context for you. It's a true fact that not every patient is a great patient, right? We all are clear about that. Just because you have a new patient does not mean that they're going to end up panning out real well. Sometimes they just come in to get their owie fixed and they show up. And I hear this more and more lately than I ever have before, that patients come in, they'll pay the money for the new patient visit, and they'll come a couple times. You're probably nodding your head as you're listening to this. They'll come a couple times and then they ghost you and they get the supplements for a little while. And then they just stop coming in and they stop calling you back and they just put you on ignore. I call this a drive-by wellness hookup. It's really what it is. It's almost like a, you know, not to be crass, but it's almost like a one-night stand. Like they're just using you. They're coming in, they're getting the supplements, they're talking to you. You're giving them all the things, resources, education, training. You do all the things. And then they're like, oh, and thank you very much. Now I know what it is. This dude, doctor told me. Now I'm going to go where? Of course, they're going to go to Dr. Google and try and figure it out themselves and order some crappy supplements. Because here's the truth. Your patients are going to take supplements. They are. They will find them. They'll find some slick marketing thing on YouTube or some ad somewhere or Amazon or Google, whatever. They're going to buy them. they might as well buy them from you. But when you don't have a process set up in place to be able to filter out the crazies and keep the good ones and then set a good kind of a parameter or a guideline about what it takes to work with you, then you are going to get these drive-by wellness hookups. I just was on a call in Clinical Academy. Well, we do live calls twice a month. I'm on these live calls. And the last one that we just did was a live Q&A. And one of the doctors said, you know, that he was feeling really frustrated because the patients were coming in and only staying for a couple of visits, and then they weren't coming back. Well, it's because we give so much value, but they don't care. They don't have any skin in the game. So I'm going to talk to you about how to put skin in the game today. Are you ready? All right. So back to the patient. They come in, you know, you order testing, you tell them what's wrong. You've added them to your computer. You've set them all up. You've spent, you know, an hour, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, hour looking through their tests and looking through their paperwork. I mean, taking on a new patient is not for sissies. You're in it to win it. And you're going to do everything you can to make sure you are prepared for that new patient appointment. You are ready to go. So there, the first day comes, you sit down with them and you're like, here's what's happening. And you're pretty confident about that based on the information. You talk back and forth, you get information, they get information, and you set them up and off they go. You charge them the fee, you sell them the supplements, and off they go. But the problem is that they come back in and they're happy, but they're maybe not getting, oh, you know, I'm okay. How many times do you hear them say that? How are you doing? Tell me what's going on. Well, you know, it's working a little bit. You're like, okay, well, that's great. Let's keep going. They don't want to hear keep going. They want right now microwave. We want fast, instant hot water. We don't want to wait it to boil on the stove. We want everything fast and quick. So then they get impatient and then they end up like ghosting you, right? So most practices have this problem. And part of the problem, which we're going to talk about a little bit more later, part of it is that we are operating under a fee-for-service model. And I think for many, many years, it was very, very sustainable. I don't think so now. I think that the types of patients that we're working with now, fee-for-service, feels like we're nickel and diming them. And if they can look for a place to cut expenses, even though I don't look at this as an expense and you don't look at it as an expense, we look at it as a necessity. You have something going on in your health. You need to get it fixed. I can help you. Let's do this together. But the patient looks at it as like, ah, I don't quite have enough money this month, so I'm not going to go back in. This is a big problem, big problem. So we set it up as a fee for service, and then the fee for service lets us down. So you give them, off they go, they maybe come back in a couple more times, and then they're gone. So you call all the things, they don't come back. So now what are you going to do? Well, let's think about how we might be able to do a little different strategy here. I'm not saying that this is the only strategy, but it's kind of part of the strategy. And next week, I'm going to sort of give you the other part of this strategy. But for now, this all by itself will stand on its own. And what I want you to consider, don't hang up on me here. Don't like hit the stop button. Go away. Just listen. Listen to what I'm telling you. Have an open mind. Take a big breath. I want you to consider the possibility that you could maybe offer something that is called a get acquainted call. Now, yes, this is a free call. And I can hear you saying, oh my gosh, I don't have time for that. I'm already busy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but listen, do you have time to keep on the treadmill of getting new patients in, getting new patients in, getting new patients in? Do you know it's way more expensive to get a new patient than it is to keep one? Yes. So how about we think about structuring this get acquainted call? You can also, they're called like, you know, introductory call or a clarity session or whatever. There's lots of different names for it. But, you know, get acquainted call is a good one because it lets the other person know exactly what the purpose of the call is. It's to get acquainted. Well, why do you get acquainted with someone? You're going to get acquainted with them to see if you like them. And that's why I think the term works well. So these get acquainted calls, they don't have to take long. That's the thing. They don't have to take long. I want you to think about this get acquainted call is a, like a 15 or 20 minute call. Now, again, before you bounce off, let me tell you how this works. And this is how they work very, very effectively. So the quality of the people that you're going to get from these get acquainted calls, I promise you they're going to be better. And they're going to be people that are going to stay. They're not going to ghost you. So think about this. If you were to spend 15 or 20 minutes on a get acquainted call and you only got committed patients that were going to stay and work with you until their condition was resolved, which for you depends on what your focus is, but it might be a 3 months or 6 months or whatever, you know how long that would be. But wouldn't that be awesome? No more drive-by wellness hookups here because we're weeding out those people. Now you spend 15 to 20 minutes on a call with somebody and you automatically know, nope, crazy in the can. You just saved yourself so much time because that person's crazy. You don't want to work with them, or they don't want to commit, or they just want to use you as a, you know, a testing hookup. I've had that. I can't tell you how many times people will call and say, can you order a test for me? No, I cannot. I will not do that. No, you work with me, I'll do testing. But otherwise, no. So you see, you start to weed out those people. So think about how much time do you spend on working up a new patient? How much time do you spend going over those forms? More than 15 minutes for someone who's going to ghost you in a month or two. So this is really going to save you time. So here's how you frame it. You or your assistant, you know, if you've got staff, you're going to set this up so that they schedule a call with you. They don't schedule a patient appointment. All of your links on your website, they go to this call, get acquainted call. It's the gate. It's the way that they get to you. They get to be with you on the phone. You can do it Zoom if you want to. So you're going to get on the call. I'll just refer to it as a call. You're going to get on the call with them and you're going to say, listen, thanks for connecting with me today. I'm so excited to learn a little bit more about what's going on with you. And this get acquainted call, this right here is really important. So listen in. This get acquainted call is a way for you to get to know me better and get your questions answered, but it's also a way for me to see if you're going to be a good fit for me. Now, right away, they know this is a little bit of like a job interview. It's like a two-way interview. They're actually going to get to kind of interview you to see if they like you. And if you're mean and snarky on the phone, they're not going to want to work with you, which is okay. And if you aren't and you're nice, which you are, of course, then they may feel like really comfortable, very at home, and they're probably very thankful that you took the time to, you know, connect with them. So you want to make sure that you set that up correctly. And then once you dive into the call, here's how it's going to work. You set the tone, you set that framework. You are going to be able to see if you get to know me better and ask questions, and I am going to see if you're going to be a good fit for me. So it's a win-win for both of us. So once you are on this call, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to ask them, and this is important, you're going to ask them to provide you a quick 3-minute overview of what's happening with their health. You have no paperwork. You have no intake forms. You are kind of flying blind a little bit, which is okay. You don't need to know everything. I promise. For those of you A-type people listening, I know you just went into a serious panty pucker. I tell you, no need to. Just hear me out. Hear me out. I can hear you saying, oh my gosh, no paperwork. Yes, you're going to go in blind. So you're going to say, please give me, if you would, a quick 3-minute overview of what's going on with your health. Now, quick is the key word there. And 3 minutes is also important because if you say 5 minutes, it's going to turn into 7, maybe even 10. So 3 minutes, good, because you can kind of clip them off around 5. If they get chatty, you know, you can interrupt and say, hey, listen, we only have 15 minutes, 20 minutes left, whatever. And I want to make sure that I have time to answer questions and you get your questions answered. So let's see if we can like make this as quick as we can. And people are usually really good about that. Then you're going to listen. So as during that 3 to 5 minutes, you are listening and you're going to be writing down exactly what they say, verbatim if you can, but you're really listening. You're listening for key events in their life. You're listening for never been well since, the NBWS moments. You're listening for psychological or emotional triggers. You're listening for stress. You're looking at like, where do they work? You know, ask clarifying questions, but be very mindful of your kind of 3 to 5 minute window because you still have some work to do here on this call. So when you're done, you've asked some clarifying questions. You maybe go to 10 minutes, maybe, right? But that's like That made me nervous when I get to that 10-minute mark and I haven't started asking questions and they haven't had a chance. That makes me nervous. So try and keep it to 5 minutes. That's why I think a 20-minute call is better. So once you have all of your information, you're going to repeat a few things back to them. You're going to ask during the call, though, I forgot this part. You're going to ask during the call some kind of clarifying questions, but the clarifying questions are going to be more around like, how is this impacting your life? You know where I'm going with this, because when we can ask those kinds of questions, they often just stay so stuck in what's happening that they don't take a minute to look at how it's impacting their family, their job, their kids, their social life, their own quality of life. So you want to, I call it kind of poke the bear. You want to poke the pain a little bit. You want to kind of press on that a little bit. You know, how is this impacting you? What are you not able to do that you'd like to do because of this? You know, what is it that it's stopping you from doing? What is it costing you? What are you missing out on? That kind of thing. How is it impacting the people around you? And then you switch. And then you're going to say, if this was to be resolved, how would that impact your life? What would be different about your life? And then they start talking about, oh, I could go to my kids' soccer games and I could actually cook healthy meals for my family. And they just go on and on and on. So now you've made them very aware of what the pain is now, what it's costing them, and you've future-paced them to see what would their future like if it's better. So once that's all happened, you're going to now just repeat back to them their own words. You're going to say, okay, Mary, I want to make sure that I heard you because I really want to listen. I want to make sure I heard you correctly. What I heard you say is that currently the situation is blank, and that's keeping you from blank and blank. And you are feeling really blank, blank, blank. You're using her words, her exact words. No, I can tell you, nobody has taken the time to do this with her. No one has ever taken the time to be present enough to really listen to what the patient is saying and then push it back and give it back to them in their own words. How does the patient feel? So validated, so taken care of, so cared for, so heard, listened to. And especially if you're talking to women, I want to know that you hear me. And I'll keep using my words until I feel like you get it. So when you can repeat those back to them in that kind of concise way, it makes such a difference. And all of a sudden she goes, oh, thank you. Oh, yes, that's exactly it. That's it. That's exactly it. So you can repeat it back to them, acknowledge that you understand what it must feel like and how it's impacting them. And you are so excited because it sounds like that's going to be an amazing thing. Your life's going to be incredible when we get this resolved and we can get you back to feeling better. And when you're done with all of that, then you just simply let Mary know that you can help. But you give her one condition. You might say, you know, I would love to help you, but I do kind of have one stipulation. Is it okay if I share that with you? And she say, well, yeah, of course. I always like to ask permission once in a while. I make sure that they're engaged. And then you're going to say, listen, I am not here to just manage symptoms. I'm here to really help you get rid of this situation, whatever the X is, once and for all. I don't think that it's in your best interest, and I don't feel like I'm going to serve you well if I just help you make the symptom go away. So if, like it's constipation, if I just can give you a supplement that'll make you go every day, but that's not solving the problem. You're going to be taking that supplement forever. It doesn't fix the problem. And that's not who I am. Who I am is I'm committed to seeing this through all the way to the end. So how does that sound to you? And I stop and I wait. Now, this can get a little awkward right here because it's kind of some silence, but it's such a ninja power move because when you ask, how does that sound to you? They have to respond. You just asked them a question and they're going to respond back. She's going to say, oh, yeah, no, I'm into symptom management, so I'm out. Thank you. That's awesome. You know, you just thank her and send her on her way. And she just saved you hours of time and frustration having a patient that doesn't want to work with you, right? The ones that drive-by wellness hookup, right? Now, if she says, oh my gosh, yes, I really would like to know more. How much does it cost? Or they'll say, you know, what is the next step or whatever. Then you're going to just tell them, listen, based on what you've told me, I think that this is going to take us about 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is. It's going to take us this much time to really be able to deal with this and correct this once and for all. We're done. Is that something that you think you're able to do? Again, I'm putting it back in their lap. I need buy-in from them. And she says, well, yes, I've been dealing with this for 10 years and I really, really want help. I want help. Then you say, okay, great. Here's what this looks like. And then you can provide them with the price or the terms. This is where having some kind of a program really comes in handy. If you have a 3-month wellness program, or you have like a phase one, phase two, phase three type situation where you were going to say, we're going to walk through 3 phases. Those 3 phases take about 6 months. It's about 6 weeks or 2 months each. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with a foundational phase. This is going to do X, Y, and Z. And then the next phase, X, Y, and Z. And then phase three is when we're going to start to reevaluate. You're going to have massive amounts of improvement by then, blah, blah, blah. And then off you go. You've now given her the roadmap. So she says, oh my gosh, no one has ever done this with me. Yes, I'm in. How much? And your smart move right here, my friend, is give them the whole price. Give them the whole price for all 3 phases in my example. All 3 phases. Phase one is X, phase two is X, phase three is X, but all together, it's X and you're saving X number of dollars. So you want to position it so they feel like they're getting a good savings. So then she says yes, or she says no, or she says she has to think about it, or she has money issues or whatever it might be. And then you can help her kind of work through some of those if you can. But that way, you've now given her the power. She feels like she has the power. And you, though, are the one that really has the power because you're the one that gets to say yes or no. Now, when you give her that package, you know, your package or your programs or your phases or whatever it is, it really does make such a huge difference. But what if during this call, Mary turns out to be cray cray? Meaning Mary says, oh, well, you know, I've worked with 15 other practitioners and no one's been able to help me. Warning, 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 like run, run, run. She's a no, she's a no. You can like wrap that call up quickly. Or she says, oh, well, you know, I know what's going on. I've been on Google and I know that I have PCOS. I'm just sure about it. And so I just need you to help me with PCOS. Ugh, warning, warning. That's probably a no. Somebody who says, you know, I've been to other people before and they always want me to change my diet and I'm not willing to do that. And I love Diet Coke and I'm, you know, 58 years old and I'm not going to give it up. Warning, you know, that's another one. Don't do that. Or they just want you to order tests, or if they're very clear that they're going to get their supplements somewhere else, because look, that's part of your revenue model. The revenue that you have on those supplements keeps the lights on. It pays the bills. It pays your staff, pays your overhead. That's part of your revenue model. So for someone to come in and say, well, I'm going to work with you, but I want to work with you on my terms, not your terms. I don't care how badly you think you need a new patient, friend. It's a no. They are always the worst patients to work with. They're the worst because then they're going to go out to Dr. Google and they're going to come back and tell you that you're wrong. They are not your people. So you just let them go. We want to steer clear of the short-term hookups, right? We're looking for people that really want to get better. And that's why the phase one, phase two, phase three kind of conversation, or if you can kind of position it that way, it works so incredibly well. So I hope this was helpful for you. I know I kind of pushed a lot at you, but let's recap this call really fast before we wrap up. Number one, you get on the call and you let them know, listen, this is an opportunity for you to get to know me a little bit better, but it's also an opportunity for me to get to know you and find out if we'll be able to work together and if I can help. And then you ask 3 to 5 minutes, quick overview. You are listening. You're writing their words down. When she's done, you ask any clarifying questions and then begin to ask, you know, what is this costing you? How is it impacting you? What is it keeping you? How is it impacting your family, et cetera? And what are you missing out on? And then you transition into, and if this were to be fixed, what would that make possible for you? What would your life be like? How would that be with your children or your family or your job or whatever? If you didn't have to run to the bathroom or you didn't have to miss 2 or 3 days of work every single month because you were down with PCOS, whatever it is. So you want a future pace for them. Then you let them know that you can help, but your term is that you're really interested in working with people who want to solve the problem and not just manage the symptoms. That right there will separate some people. They'll say, no, you know, I'm really not into this. I just want to know what to do, blah, blah, blah. Cut them loose. But if they say, yes, I really do want to get rid of this and I'm ready, like I want to do this. They like you, you like them. So far, the dating relationship is going really good. Then you're going to just go in and you're going to start talking about what it is that you're going to do. I think this is going to take X amount of months. I know I can help, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and don't forget to ask your question. You know, how does that sound? You know, how does that sound for you? Be sure you throw those questions in. Let them answer. So when you say, yes, I can help you, and here's what I think it's going to take, then how does that sound? Yes, she says. And then you say phase one, phase two, phase three, or however you want to language that. I really would steer you away from a fee for service. It's just not working as well as it used to. So work on, you know, creating some kind of program or package, kind of a thing like that. And then, you know, if she has any other objections, you can deal with them. But I tell you, you can get all of this done in a 20-minute phone call. It's not that hard. But look at the quality of the patient that you have at the end. You've got someone who now has almost sold themselves. They've almost sold themselves. They've said yes to you on the call. How does that sound? They say, oh, sounds good. You want them to be saying that. This is a little bit of a psychology of selling a little bit too. But you want them to say yes. You want them to say yes. So that's why these calls are so valuable, because you're able to weed out the people that aren't going to be a good fit very quickly. And you're working with people who are actually going to pay you for that longer term fix. Those people that weren't a good fit, they're out after a couple months, and you lost all that time. You invested all that time and then you lost the revenue and they didn't get good results, which doesn't reflect well on your name either. They say, oh, I went to see Rhonda, but it didn't work. Didn't work not because I didn't do it, but because they left too soon. So we really want to make sure that we do these get acquainted calls. We call them whatever you want, as a way to be able to filter the wrong people out, move them out, and then open the gate and let the right people come in. And that is how you'll end up having greater revenue. You have happier patients. You're going to be happier because you get to do what you love and you're taking good care of your people. Oh, it's like a marriage made in heaven right here. No more drive-by wellness hookups. We're not doing that anymore. So that's what I have for you this week. Listen, I know I talked about this in the beginning, but I'm telling you, if you love these kinds of topics and you're tired of having your business feel like it's a big, heavy sack on your back and you're working nights or weekends and you're, you know, balancing the bank statement and you're trying to figure out your marketing and it all just sort of feels overwhelming, I get it. You're doing all the right things and yet your revenue's just stuck. I hear that all the time. I'm doing all the things and I don't have a marketing plan and I'm just feeling stuck because I can't make my revenue. No matter what I do, I'm not making more money. And this isn't greed. This is just wanting to grow a better, stronger, more viable practice. And it feels overwhelming. You don't have a marketing strategy. You tried the social media thing and that didn't work. You know, it's just all overwhelming. You're kind of in over your head. That's what Clinical Business Academy is for. You don't have to feel that way. I got you, friend. So Clinical Business Academy is going to give you the tools, the resources, and the education to make your practice work for you, not what's working for somebody else. So it's very customizable based on you and I will get on a phone call together and I'll help you. I'll be able to kind of diagnose your business just like you would do a diagnosis on a new patient. I'm kind of treating it like that. You tell me about your business. I'm going to say, okay, here's the problem. This is what we need. And then I'm going to put you into Clinical Business Academy and give you the training that you need for where you're at. It won't feel overwhelming because you're not getting things that don't apply to you. It's very, very individualized, very specific. So I would really love to have you. All you have to do is go to rhondanelson.com/CBA and you can apply. There's a short questionnaire. And at the end of the questionnaire, you can schedule a call with me. and we'll get on the phone and I'll do my little business magic and I'll get you all sorted out. And then we'll see how this looks for you. And I'll probably do some of these same strategies with you on the call to filter out whether you are just in it for a short, quick fix or whether you're really serious about growing your business and making more money, having more profit, and helping more people than you ever thought possible. I got you, friend. So rondanelson.com/CBA stands for Clinical Business Academy. That's all I got for you this week. Next week, next week, I'm going to be talking about how to set your patients up so that they have already sold themselves on working with you before you ever get on a Get Acquainted call with them. And by the way, there's more deeper training on this inside Clinical Business Academy, by the way. I'm kind of pulling out little bits and pieces, but this goes a lot deeper. There's more to this. You'll have like the templates and the examples and all the things inside Clinical Business Academy. But next week, I want to talk to you about how to set them up to say yes. They can't wait to get on a call with you because they just want to say yes, like get me started. They already sold themselves. That's coming up next week. All right, friends, have a great week. I'll see you then. Bye for now.